Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora, or head on over to AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the great articles and podcast. And please share those on social media. We appreciate that a great deal. You know, we deal with censorship on social media just like everyone else does. So sharing the articles and podcast over at AmericaOutLoud.com helps us a great deal. We can't do it without all of you great patriots sharing our content. You know, Rob, we're coming off the Christmas holiday. I hope you had a fantastic Christmas. We hope you guys tuned in to our Christmas show over the weekend. We had a couple singers on, and they put on a great performance. Tina and Jody, we appreciate them coming on with us. You guys can go to AmericaOutLoud.com and check out that show on the archive. We hope that you guys will. You know what else happened over the Christmas weekend was Joe Biden took some phone calls from veterans and other people, and he got a phone call from an Oregon dad who, before he hung up the phone, said, of course, the famous slogan, "Let's go, Brandon," to Joe Biden. And Joe Biden kind of brushed it off, said, "Let's go, Brandon," afterwards. It's kind of a funny little moment, but of course, liberals have no sense of humor, and they completely flipped out, and they had to make a big deal. Now, this dad is receiving threats and having to come out and explain why he said that. Just a completely ridiculous and over-the-top reaction from liberals like we have come to expect in this day and age of cancel culture. I think that a reaction is completely over the top. I thought it was a funny little moment, nothing more, nothing less. Rob, what did you make of the dad who said, "Let's go, Brandon," before he hung up the phone with Joe Biden?
Well, Andrew, first, I want to say thank everyone for tuning in to our show after our after Christmas show. Like you said, I had a fantastic time on that show with our guest, Jody C. and Tina B. Those young ladies, they have voices like angels. And if you missed it, as Andrew said, go back and listen to it. It's not too late. It's on America Out Loud. Listen to the podcast and share it. It's something completely different. We're not discussing politics. We're in the moment celebrating the reason for the season, which is the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And even if you don't believe in the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, if you just like good holiday music and you just like people having fun, that is definitely a show that's infectious. We're laughing. I mean, we're having a jolly good time. So I would recommend you go and listen to the show. Now, back to your opening comments about the guy saying, "Let's go, Brandon." I agree with you, Andrew. It was a lighthearted moment. And liberals are blowing it completely out of proportion. And I think probably one of the reasons why they're up in arms about it is that they realize that Joe probably didn't know what was happening. He didn't realize what the guy was saying. So he, you know, said, "That's right, let's go, Brandon." Well, see, that's the price you pay when you have someone in the White House, a resident in the White House, who really isn't performing as a president. Because if he were truly performing as a president, he would come out and say, "Stop attacking this man. Stop attacking Senator Manchin. Stop attacking people on the right simply because they have a different ideology from what we have on the left." That is yet to happen. Now, once again, I'm connecting the dots and I'm tying this all in together. It is yet to happen. From the moment this man took the oath of office, he has not come out and denounced the violence on the left. When Trump was in office, every month, they were demanding that he come out and denounce something that he had absolutely nothing to do with. We don't see that on the left. We don't see the liberal media demanding Joe Biden comes out and say, "Stop the rhetoric, stop the attacks." If anything, he has justified it by saying about Kristen Sinema earlier or during the summer, that people who were attacking her not physically attacking her, but in words, and then following her into the bathroom because they wanted her to vote a certain way for a progressive socialist agenda, and she didn't want to do it. They took to following her into the ladies' room, following her around at airports, threatening her. These weren't people on the right threatening her, Andrew. These were people on the left, progressives, threatening her, trying to get her to change her vote, trying to get her to push through something that she really didn't agree with. She was looking at what's going to benefit the country. And what they want me to vote on is not going to. Fast forward to Senator Manchin. Just a few weeks ago, he decided, I am not going to vote for Joe Biden's Build Back Better socialist bill, the agenda. It's not going to help Americans. Now, he had apparently tried to work with his party to see if they could try and get this thing over the finish line. But then talks started to fall apart when the White House decided to start attacking him on a personal level, to start saying, well, he was going to do this and he was going to do that, trying to force his hand. So what did he do? He came out and he said, I'm not for it. I'm not for this. I can't be for it. And I'm glad that he did it. Now, you have Bernie Sanders who came out and said shortly thereafter, well, let's call this vote to the floor and let's let Joe Manchin say this before the American people. Well, Sanders, Bernie, why does he need to go and say it on the House floor? He just said it on TV so that everyone could see it. If they weren't listening, if they wouldn't listen to the vote, didn't see the vote, they know that he said it. What do you want him to go to the floor and say it for? It's theatrics, because more than likely there are other Democrats, Andrew, that don't agree with this Build Back Better, Build Back to Socialism. While you have AOC and the Trojan Horse Brigade that want this. So some are saying, well, he didn't want the child tax credit. He wanted to get rid of that. Well, there's a whole lot more in that bill that would not have worked for us. Early education for children, preschool, which would have given them access to our children at a very young age. And for what? For them to start their indoctrination of hating America. It's rather interesting that kids today can point out every flag except for the flag of the United States of America. They know all about the pride flag. A small segment of the population. And you want to tell me that there isn't an agenda? Why don't our children know about the American flag? What's wrong with it? Other countries know about their flag. And then the whole notion that everything is about racism, race, race, race. Where? Point it out. As I've said before, Andrew, the children today, so-called millennials, have grown up in the most least racist country ever. But you have these old heads like Nancy Pelosi, Joy Reid, that's telling these kids, oh no, it's about racism. No, it is not. It's about you and your inability to perform, you and your inability to love people, but to hate yourself. That's what it's about. But all of this race, this and race, you're turning people against each other because it will create hate. Well, you don't want your kids to go to learn about CRT. And I saw one advertisement on Facebook, and they were showing the Little Rock Nine, this little girl who was being escorted by these military guys who go to school. And then the comment was, if she can go through this, certainly your kids can learn about CRT. But you got it twisted. If you look at CRT, at the rudimentary as to what they're trying to teach kids, in essence, they're creating segregation. Telling that one group is bad, the other group is good. One group just went through so much stuff. Yes, they did. Yes, down through the 60s and the 70s, the 40s, there was massive segregation in the country. There was a lot of turmoil. We will not forget that, and we can't forget that, but we are a lot better off now than we were then We're not perfect. But every little infraction that happens is not because of racism, simply because it involves a Black person and a white person. Look at the crime that has befallen us. Why? Why are a lot of Blacks committing the crimes? Well, because they defunded the police. So you mean if you stop policing, Blacks are going to go out and commit crimes? So are you telling me that they need someone looking over them? Otherwise, they're going to act out and misbehave? The history, we have a history of racism. We have a history of segregation. From the time the slaves were freed up until the, like I said, the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, and the 50s. But each with each generation, things got better. And today, they're a lot better off. So all this turmoil and acrimony that's in society is being created by the left. Yes, there are some people on the right who are misguided in their thought process. But a majority of it, the people that have the platform, are progressive liberals. CNN, MSNBC, Washington Post, New York Times, and all of Hollywood, that's all they talk about. Because if they weren't doing that, when that little joke was made about Let's Go Brandon, people would have laughed about it, as opposed to say, oh, it's the white supremacy again. But look at what you guys did when Trump was in office. You constantly derided the man. I saw an article the other day, and they were talking about the $20 bill and how they wanted Harriet Tubman on it. And the news commentator said, well, they were going to put it on it, but Donald Trump came in and he vetoed it and he didn't want this. It's like, no, there's a little bit more behind that. You guys aren't telling the whole story, but you're putting out that lie so that people will hear it and then will perceive that Trump didn't want it there. No, he said, put it there. But then there were some issues with trying to document it, getting the funding for it. But all they want to say is that Trump stopped it. Well, why didn't Barack Obama push it through? He was the first Black president. Why didn't he push it through? He could have very easily pushed it all the way through. He didn't want it either. So these stories that are being told are so completely flawed and wrong. But the liberal has managed to take this narrative and just rip it apart and then say, no, it's them. They're the racist. When if you look in the mirror and if you look at history, you will see that the Ku Klux Klan and all this division in society was born out of the left, the same way it's being born out of the left now, the same way they are creating all of this acrimony within society. The left, again, is doing it. And if people were to stop and look at it and say, wait, it's not, the only people that are doing this are these progressives that think they have the answer to everything. And unfortunately, Andrew, they don't. They simply don't.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head earlier when you mentioned Build Back Better, and Bernie Sanders, of all people, is desperate to get this bill voted for. He wanted Joe Manchin to go on the floor and say it in front of the American people that he was not going to vote for this bill. And despite that, we've heard how popular it is in West Virginia with Joe Manchin's constituents that he decided not to vote for this bill. And it should tell you everything that you need to know, that Bernie Sanders, of all people, is desperate for Build Back Better to pass. And why would that be? Because there's all kinds of socialist garbage in that bill that does nothing for the majority of the American people, as we mentioned before. This bill was loaded with pork, and it was just added to inflation. It would have risen taxes, and the American people would have had to pay for this socialist disaster. And this was the key piece of legislation in Joe Biden's first year, and it completely fell apart, and people don't even seem disappointed about it. That is not a good sign for Joe Biden in his future.
Well, there are a lot of other things that have fallen apart with this administration. Joe has not done anything to further his socialist agenda, and I'm glad about it. I mean, we're going to talk about that on some of our shows, you know, year-end review, as to some of the failures of this administration, because when you really look at it, Andrew, you look at the heart of it. He has not done anything constructive or positive for the country. for the past 11 months or so. Not one thing. Everything that he has touched has been ruined, has created division, animosity, grievances between different people. Nothing constructive. He took the oath of office saying that he was going to be a unifier. The only group he has unified have been the terrorists in Afghanistan. That's it. That's the only group he's unified. Well, I take that back. He's also unified those individuals that are coming across the border because they seem even more so determined to breach our borders. Our country is being invaded. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Because when you're not welcome to a country and you're just coming in on your own, regardless as to what the laws are saying, you are invading another country, plain and simple. So what has Joe unified for the American people? Well, he gave the money after the COVID. Well, he gave the money and then a lot of people lost their jobs because they didn't want to take the vaccine. How is that unifying people? You're not. You're creating more harm. You're destroying people's livelihood.
Yeah. Not to mention, another campaign promise of his was that he was going to shut down this virus. And what have we seen this year? We've seen things gradually get worse, despite him having access to a vaccine. We see more people testing positive now than ever. We see these sports leagues having trouble keeping teams out on the floor. And just this week, we're going to see New Year's Eve canceled once again in the Big Apple, New York City, an American tradition, having the ball drop with hundreds of thousands of people watching outside, people watching on TV all around the world. Well, they won't be once again this year because Joe Biden still has not gotten the coronavirus under control. He still does not seem to have a plan. And now he is not ordered enough tests for people to take. And you've got people waiting 7 hours just to get a test for COVID-19. You imagine if this was President Trump, the media would be all over him talking about how unprepared he was. But with Joe Biden, nope, he gets a pass. Nothing to see here.
You're right. He did tell the American people that he was going to get this under control. And he hasn't. He said that he was going to have everyone vaccinated, and that he was not going to mandate people to be vaccinated. Now he's mandating everyone, so it seems, and then he's pushing on companies, private companies, to force their employees to be vaccinated. And if they're not, you know, you'll lose your job. Really? And who does that affect? Minorities, Black people, the Black people who he claims he's done so much for. And that's another misnomer. I see a lot of people saying, oh, he has done so much for Black people. When and how? The man has only been in office for 11 months. But what he has done since he's been on the Hill in some capacity or another as a senator and the vice president, he has created laws that have kept Black people in jail. So what has he done? He's now using his attorney general to force this draconian type of education on Black children. And not only that, they're closing down schools so that Black kids can't go to school and learn because of the virus. And then they keep changing, getting the CDC to change. If you get it, can you go to school? Can you not go to school? How many days you have to stay out of school? And then, of course, he's working with the teachers union. So how are Blacks benefiting from this administration? Just, I want someone to seriously to write in and to tell me, point out detail by detail, how Black people are benefiting from the Joe Biden administration. What has he done for Black people besides create a criminy with other groups so that once he is out of office, there will be so much criminy, people disliking each other because they'll feel as if they'll, well, you gave them a leg up and you didn't give it to me. Look at what he did with the farmers bill. He said that we're going to give these farmers all of this money because of COVID, because they have to shut down, and we're going to forgive the debt. Whereas the white farmers, we're not going to do that so much. Now, which farmers are providing us with more goods? produce? Blacks or the whites? Do we have more black farmers or more white farmers? Let's just look at it economically. Then some will say, well, we would have more black farmers, but you know, they cheated with them and they couldn't do X and they couldn't do Z. And who did the cheating? Who was in control of the money? Who was in control of the purse? The Democrats. So who affected or impacted, whose policies impacted these black farmers? The Democrats. If you look at history, I mean, because, and I say this because I'm so sick and tired of people constantly saying, oh, well, no, it was the right, it was the conservatives. Okay. Yes, they probably had their hands in it also. But when you look at the laws that are on the book and you look at the people that passed the laws, none other than the Democrats. Now, we can throw them all in there. But when you look at it percentage-wise, 80 or 90% are the Democrats who have created these laws that have held back people of color. And now they want to run and say, it wasn't us, it was them. And then conservatives don't do a good job in defending themselves as opposed to coming out and just pointing out the obvious, because half the time they're afraid to talk about race, which is what the Democrats are counting on. Well, they won't say anything about it. So we'll just keep pushing these lies out there. So again, I ask, what has Biden done for Black people specifically that has helped them, not harmed them? Because putting them in jail, keeping the fathers out of the homes so that they can't raise children, that's negative. And which is what's happening now. You look at Biden's administration, you look at the people he's surrounding himself around. Now I'm getting real with you. Black women. What about the Black men? Why can't you uplift the Black man so that the Black boy can see that, hey, here's a strong man? Why can't you do that? Every appointment, a Black woman here, a Black woman there. I don't know if they're qualified, they're not qualified. Half of them probably aren't qualified. They probably have attitudes, just like the Massachusetts judge that he just appointed. What about Black men? And then you want to, we need the fathers in the houses. Okay, what did, Maxine Waters say? Black man, I'm disappointed in you. Who's going to uplift the Black man? Who is going to keep that Black institution together? Joe Biden certainly isn't going to do it, and he doesn't care. Look at who he picked for his vice president. Why is it that he couldn't pick a Black man? And why is it that every Democrat we see, Andrew, who's being elected, they keep saying, well, I'm going to pick a woman. I'm going to pick a Black woman, a Black woman. What about the Black men? Are you saying that we don't care about the Black family and that to hell with them?
Yeah, the hypocrisy is just staggering. One of my favorite things to always bring up, I brought this up before, is I remember when Tim Scott was on the news a lot trying to pass his criminal justice reform. You had liberals constantly saying, the GOP is just wheeling out Tim Scott. He's their Black senator. He's all they have that is Black. So they want to put him on TV and say, look, the GOP, we're accepting. We like Black people. But at the same time that they were saying this, ripping the GOP for not being inclusive enough and only having Tim Scott as a Black senator at the time, the Democrats had only two Black senators at the same time they were ripping the GOP for having one. So, I mean, that is not a big difference, and they're acting like there's just a night and day difference. But what we see is a lot of these old white men keep getting elected, especially the prominent office. You look at who the Democrats ran at the top of the ticket. It was Joe Biden. I mean, this guy has got dementia, and instead of picking like a Cory Booker or someone else that they could prove that they were the inclusive party, they went with Joe Biden, a lifelong politician, a lifelong swamper. Once again, the Democrats are just floating in hypocrisy.
Absolutely floating in hypocrisy. And I'm glad that you mentioned Tim Scott, because you look at Brian Donalds and how they attack him, another Republican. They give no props for any of these Black conservative men that are out there doing it every day representing. They are so quick to attack them. And then they want to say, well, we don't need any more these old white men. But it's in the Democrat Party that you keep propping them up. because why is Joe Biden there? Simone Sanders, who is Kamala Harris' communications director, who will soon be leaving, even said that they didn't need an old white man. But yet and still, she went and worked for one. And she got burned, as we mentioned in one of our previous shows. The hypocrisy is alive and well within the Democrat Party. And I hope next year, conservatives do a better job in defining who they are, as opposed to allowing the Democrats to do it. Stop being afraid of race. Talk about it. We've had numerous guests on the show this past year, Andrew, talking about that, that conservatives have got to do a better job reaching out to minorities and explaining who they are. It's going to be uncomfortable because you've never done it, but you need to get out there and you need to do it. Because the makeup of the country is changing. And with all these people coming over here that the Democrats are allowing to come, they will use that against you. You need to define yourselves as opposed to allowing them to define you. So the young man, as we started off saying, who said, let's go Brandon, and the Democrats just completely having a meltdown over something that's so trivial, everything that we've discussed are issues and concerns that they should be having a meltdown over, but they're not. They're focusing on a person who's saying, let's go Brandon, as opposed to all of the negativity that they put out on conservatives, attacking them day in and day out. And now they want to take away this man's livelihood. Shame on them.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You guys are tuned in to After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. When we come back, I want to talk about liberal Hollywood and Leonardo DiCaprio's new movie, Don't Look Up. Stay tuned to After Dark with Robert.
Dr. Peter McCullough, if you go to HealthyCell.com, you can check out the technology, the products of HealthyCell. These are very innovative products. They are a form of bionutraceuticals that are bioactive, and they come in a variety of categories. One is daily essentials, which are the bioactive multi and the vegan essentials. And then the next category is performance. And this is the REM sleep supplement. I've talked about it a lot. I think it's very effective and I recommend it for myself and for my family, but as well as my patients. I'm having great luck with this because it is such a terrific product with a blend of, I think, is what's needed for not only promoting sleep, but also getting quality sleep. And when gets quality sleep, then there's restfulness, and the next day is better, and then the next night is better, and it becomes a progressively positive cycle for the human body. And the next product in the performance category is Focus and Recall. Focus and Recall. And I think that is the featured product that is coming into play for those with long COVID and brain fog that develops after COVID-19, the respiratory infection, but also after COVID-19 vaccination. And then finally, the main horse in HealthyCell is the targeted support of Immune Super Boost. And what we have here is a series of products that really can toe the line for patients who are working their way through the COVID-19 pandemic, either at risk for COVID-19, have had COVID-19 and recovered, are in the post-COVID syndrome, which is now a diagnosis we put in the electronic medical record, and are suffering through a variety of manifestations of post-COVID syndrome. And then lastly, those who are in the throes of vaccine reactions of some sort, whether they be acute serious vaccine reactions or the more common mild prolonged vaccine reactions. We now know the spike protein lasts in the human body after the respiratory infection or after vaccination for up to 15 months. We had this breaking development brought to you on America Out Loud Talk Radio with Dr. Bruce Patterson on a recent episode. So we know this is the case. And so we know if the Wuhan spike protein is in the human body for up to 15 months, it's going to cause damage. It's going to cause inflammation. It's going to set a whole variety of immune responses up, working against our body and potentially damaging cells, tissues, intercellular communication systems, and very importantly, influencing organ function. And here is where we need the maximum defense for the body, the maximum and the most appropriate blend of micronutrients, minerals, as well as vitamins to help the body get through this difficult time. So go to healthycell.com and check out the products, and in the promotional code, use the term out loud for 20% off your first purchase. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. This is the McCullough Report.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of 2022 is upon us. Happy New Year, my fellow Americans. Eleanor Roosevelt says the future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams. May you realize your dreams in the new year, we trust. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
We are back here on After Dark with Robin and Andrew, and we hope that you all had a fantastic Christmas holiday. I know Rob and I did, and we hope that all of our listeners did as well. We're here on another holiday week, but something I've been looking forward to talking to Rob about was this recent Leonardo DiCaprio movie, Don't Look Up. It also has Jennifer Lawrence. I first heard about this movie probably about 2 weeks ago. I started seeing trailers for it. Basically, Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence play scientists who see an asteroid coming from space, and it's coming directly towards Earth, and they try warning everyone about it, and they are not being listened to. It looked like a pretty good movie from the trailer I seen. I was actually kind of looking forward to it. But then as the movie started drawing closer to being released, I started seeing interviews with Leonardo DiCaprio. And this guy has just completely lost his mind. He is so crazy about this climate change agenda. You cannot take him seriously. This is a movie about an asteroid coming to Earth, but he says he took this role because it reminds him of the scientists that he's seen 10 years ago who predicted that California would be hit with droughts and you'd see wildfires all over America. And he has said that this movie reminds him of that because it's about how people do not listen to the scientists and who do not follow the science. As you know, Rob, we've had on Captain John Cox, who is a retired firefighter from Anaheim, California, dating back all the way to the 70s. And he has told us about these wildfires in his career and how they've been taking place the entire time he's been working for the California Fire Department. He has not seen an increase in the fires. The way that they're being treated perhaps could be better. They are not taking care of their land, and therefore these fires are spreading very quickly. But everything, even a movie like this, Hollywood has to make it so political. It's like, I was just looking forward to watching a movie about an asteroid coming towards Earth. And now after listening to these Leonardo DiCaprio interviews, I almost have no interest in wanting to watch the movie anymore. I see this time and time again from Hollywood. But Rob, what are your thoughts on this Leonardo DiCaprio comments about his new movie, Don't Look Up?
Well, I saw the movie also advertised a couple of weeks ago. And unlike you, I saw no interest in it. I don't like anything with Leonardo DiCaprio. The movie, The Titanic, I fell asleep on it. I thought it was overrated. He did do a movie called What's Eating Gilbert Grape. I thought he was good in that movie.
Wolf of Wall Street.
I did not like that. Didn't even see it. I heard it was pretty good, but I don't like him. I don't like the way he looks. He looks funny to me. I'm just not into Leonardo DiCaprio. So when the movie came out, and Jennifer Lawrence is in it also, and Tyler Perry, and Kate Blanchett, and like you said, it's about the global warming. I love Meryl Streep. I think she's a great actress. But when she gets on this whole kick with we're saving the world, and we all know, let's just be honest, it's a joke, okay? It's a joke, folks. Yes. we can be better stewards in taking care of this great planet. But it's a joke. Because why is it that Leonardo DiCaprio is living in all these huge, high-priced, ritzy condo pads and houses? Why won't he scale it down? Some will say, well, people might come after him. Well, they're going to come after him regardless. Why does he need a mansion with 20 rooms? He doesn't have 20 kids. He's not living in all those rooms. Why is he taking private jets?
I actually seen a funny article or a funny exchange about that on social media. Someone brought up, they're like, why is this guy taking private jets and talking like that? And some liberal replied, well, he doesn't own a private jet.
He doesn't have to own it, but he's still taking one.
Exactly.
I mean, remember our good friend Josh Spodek. He's really into the environment. He's not like a nutty like some of these people are, but he hasn't flown in quite some time. I want to say like 10 plus years, because he feels as if though, hey, if I need to go someplace, I can just do a bike it or he'll take a bus. He was invited overseas once and he said, I'll come if you guys will get me a ticket to travel on a ship. And he said he didn't hear from them. Okay, he's living by what he says. Where these other people are saying, don't do this and don't do that. Al Gore, I mean, the biggest person talking about, oh my God, the world is gonna end. He's made millions of dollars. And where is he living? In a huge mansion in Tennessee, driving or being escorted in limos, private jets. So he's made money off of a lot of people's fears. But he's still coming out with an inconvenient truth and the world is going to end and this is going to happen. I'm glad Bill Clinton isn't out saying the same thing. Now, that's not to say that he's not a little nutty when it comes to that, but you don't see him out there pushing it like some of these other people like Leonardo DiCaprio. So when I saw the movie, I thought, are you serious? And then they're saying that the media isn't taking it seriously. Tyler Perry, I guess he's supposed to be Michael Strahan. He's in this type of capacity, like a Good Morning talk show. And they're telling him, oh, the world is going to end. There's an asteroid. And they're like, oh, yeah. Well, I got news for you, Leonardo. Those knuckleheads are the main people that do believe in it. Good Morning America, the Today Show. They're all down with this. So you don't have a problem trying to convince them. They're already on your side. So exactly, Pratell, who are you trying to convince? I'll tell you. Once again, they're trying to create something for the next generation, for the kids that are in first grade, kindergarten, third grade. They want to push this to them to get them scared, to get them thinking that, oh, the world is going to end. We're using too much water. Okay, water is supposed to be used. What are we supposed to do? You can't eat this. They're pushing that before long. Don't eat meat, eat crickets, eat bugs. When will it come down that we're killing the bugs also? Why is it that we shouldn't eat animals, but we can eat bugs? What do you have against bugs? Insects. I mean, let's just think about it. That's a life there also. Pretty soon, don't eat anything green. Don't eat plants. And it just keeps going and going and going and going. When does it stop? I mean, these Hollywood people think that they're at the forefront and someone said, well, we have a big voice and we have a platform and we can easily get our voices out there. I understand that perfectly. And when you think about it, it is true. They do have a platform. But when you're using that platform to be deceptive, when you're using that platform as if though you're the all to be all Bette Midler attacking the great people of West Virginia, simply because Joe Manchin didn't vote the way she wanted him to vote, then your platform should be removed from you. It's one thing to have a platform to say, these are my beliefs. This is what I have to say. But then when you start attacking other people who don't have that platform, and you know they don't have it, and you know they can't speak up, that's wrong. I can't even believe they made the movie, Andrew. It's ridiculous. And then I think back, Steven Spielberg, who made the movie West Side Story, and how they were talking about it, and how they were going to have diversity, and the movie was going to be this way and that way, and how they were going to really bring it out, and this time they were going to use real people of color, unlike the show that came out years ago, and they didn't use people of color, and they were just going on and on and on, and creating all this stuff, you know, virtue signaling, telling us that we're bad, and they're good, and they're going to make it right. and they're going to have people speaking Spanish. And if you don't understand it, tough luck. And guess what happened? The movie bombed at the box office.
Yeah, no surprise. They always like to remake these Hollywood classics that were actually good movies, and they like to remake them in this woke image.
Political image, yeah.
Yeah, something that I seen just in this past year probably was the new Coming to America. I love the original with Eddie Murphy. That's a really funny movie. But this new one was just garbage. I couldn't even make it an hour into the movie. They try and make this new guy give him Eddie Murphy's role, but he's not funny like Eddie Murphy. I mean, the movie was just pathetic, to be honest. Did you happen to watch that one, Rob?
Andrew, I haven't seen the first one. I haven't seen any of the Coming to America. And I heard that they were good. I have not had a desire.
I would recommend the original with Eddie Murphy, just because Eddie Murphy can make a lot of movies good if you just put him in front of the camera. But the second one, this guy, just one of these young actors, and he was no Eddie Murphy, to put it nicely.
I thought Eddie Murphy was in that movie also. That just shows you I haven't been following.
Yeah, I believe he is in it, but he is not the main character in the movie.
Well, as I started off saying, Andrew, is that I find it very trying to go to a movie when you have these actors with all this political gravitas, and they're out there trying to tell you to do this and do that. Now, I would like to see the movie Macbeth with Denzel Washington. He seems to be pontificating, or some of the things he's saying seem to be right on par, you know, with just regular American values. Now, of course, these guys are subject to change, and I don't put a lot of stock in them. Just like the guy, Peter, what is his name? Dinklage. I almost said the other word, Dinklage, who was in the Game of Thrones. I don't know if you watched that or not, but that was a great show I thought was on HBO.
Yes.
And he is now coming out saying that the people, when the show ended about 2 years ago, people didn't like the ending. I thought the ending was, wasn't the best ending, but I'm like, okay, fine. It ended the way they wanted to end. So after all those years, he's now coming out saying, and this is how I know this is all political. People didn't like it because the pretty white people didn't ride off in the sunset as being the winners. I'm like, what? Yeah, the pretty white people, they didn't win. Where did that come from? That the pretty white people didn't win, so people are upset. Well, there were black people like myself that liked the show. I wasn't, thrilled about the way it ended, but I never thought that, the white people didn't win, so I didn't like it. You see how these people come up with this nonsense? And then what will happen, Andrew, is that you'll have other people, these woke progressive, that will sit back and think and go, yeah, that's right. That's the reason why you all didn't like it, because the white people didn't win. Well, when you think about it, the people that were in the show were all white. What people won? Okay? It's like, come on, let's be honest here. I mean, they make everything political.
Yeah.
You look at the show Seinfeld or The Jeffersons. They would not be able to make those shows today. And when The Jeffersons was made in the late 70s and 80s, I mean, the things that we're saying now, you could not have gotten away with.
Yeah, and it's not just black people that like the Jeffersons. White people love the Jeffersons also.
Yeah, they did. They like the Jeffersons also. But if you like the woke quote, talk about it. Oh, no. And hey, just the other day, we spoke about this. On the Jefferson, George Jefferson used the word cracker all the time. He referred to his neighbor, Mr. Willis, who happens to be white, as being a cracker. Mr. Willis was married to a black woman who was in real life Lenny Kravitz's mom. But on the show, she was married to Mr. Willis. Was it Mr. Willis? Yeah, Tom Willis. And George would get mad at him and would call him a cracker. Okay, fast forward to today. There is a YouTube personality, influencer.
Hassan Piker.
Okay, Hassan Piker, who used the word cracker, and he got banned. I mean, like, what can you and what can't you say? This is absurd. You have these virtue signaling progressive individuals that are trying to sanitize everything that we say, everything that we do. And if you get it wrong, they want to cancel you. They don't want to see you anymore. They want you to get, they want to get rid of you. Meanwhile, you have someone like Jesse Smollett out lying about being attacked. An actor. He was virtually just acting out a role. And it went all the way into the court system, the real court system. He was found guilty. Quiet as is kept. No one is saying anything negative about it. The only thing they're saying is that, well, you know, considering the racism that's going on in this country, we have to give him a pass because, you know, it's just all in his head. And he's just acting out. What? That's nonsense. The man lied. He's nearly 40 years old and he lied. And he should be given the maximum and possibly more. He lied. But Hollywood, no, they will take care of their own. Why? Well, because he's gay and he's black and they like that.
Yeah, Hollywood going woke has made it so broken. We talked about the Jeffersons. You look at old characters like Archie Bunker, just how good and enjoyable television used to be. And now it makes you ask the question, Rob, when's the last time you've seen a good opening segment on a late night show? I mean, I used to be a fan of Conan O'Brien when I was a kid. I used to stay up and watch him after Jay Leno. I thought he'd have some really funny segments. But over the holidays, I happened to catch an episode of Conan. And now he's just another one of these woke jokes who is absolutely terrible. It's like, who's writing this garbage for him? And it's like, he's got to be smart enough to know that this stuff isn't funny. Jimmy Kimmel, the guy is a late night guy on ABC, took David Letterman's job, I believe. He doesn't even try to be funny half the time. He'll just do an opening monologue, idolizing and worshiping Dr. Fauci. I mean, comedy in Hollywood, at least the mainstream part, is completely dead. You've got to go to people like Michael Loftus or something like that to find some enjoyable comedy in this day and age.
You're right. I used to love David Letterman. I thought he had a rather dry sense of humor. Completely out there. But I don't like any of them now. I don't watch it. But you know what? Now that you and I, this just popped in my head about David Letterman. When he ended his show, they were always like, is he going to end it? Is he going to end it? And he always had this backwards and forth with Jay Leno, whom I thought was, you know, okay, but I didn't care for him. But Stephen Colbert took over for David Letterman. And here's the thing that I just came to my mind. I think David Letterman saw the writing on the wall. Now, he is a liberal, progressive liberal. Don't get me wrong. But I think he saw the writing on the wall. Because if you think back, there were many instances whereby women came out and said that David Letterman had an affair with them or had some type of relationship and he wasn't the nicest person. Now, do you think, Andrew, his career would be able to survive in this new world order that we're in with Me Too? There is no way in heck.
Yeah, they would love to cancel an old white man like David Letterman getting the opportunity.
They would have X'd him. Now, he does every so often pop up on Netflix doing the little shows, but he probably has his finger on the pulse, and he's probably saying, I got to be careful, because if I do too many of these and people start to like them, it's only a matter of time that some woman in my past is going to come out and say that I did something to her, and then that's it. My career, although I'm in retirement, would be completely over. They would remove my name from the pantheons and just say, get rid of it, which is what we see happening to a lot of individuals that they don't like. And they're trying to sanitize it and say, well, these men, they're bad men. But I mean, I'm not saying what these men did was right. But when we look at that time era, there were a lot of men with brutish behavior. Again, I'm not saying that it was right, but you look at the comedy then as some of the remarks that were made. And Andrew, I mean, to be honest with you, women, their mouths aren't so clean and their behavior isn't so clean in this either. It's just that a lot of men are choosing not to say anything because they also idolize men and their bodies and they will look at them and make remarks. But for now, men are being called out. being canceled. And it makes you wonder. It does make you wonder. I mean, how can you do comedy now with everything that's happening? Look at how they were treating Dave Chappelle. Look at Eddie Murphy. Back in the day, Eddie Murphy did a stand-up called, I think, Eddie Murphy Live. And he made fun of everyone. Gays, lesbians, old people, Asians, Black people. And I heard someone say, well, that's what comedy is about, when we're able to look at each other and pick out different things and laugh about it. Like there was this skit that used to go around saying that Asian women can't drive. If you were to say that now, you're making fun of the Asians. This is racism. Whereas Asian women will say the same thing in the Asian community.
I'll go a step further than that and just say women can't drive.
Okay. Well now, hey, you know, and if you were to say that, if people, that's not right. That's not fair. We don't like that. It's like, but people, we've got to stop being so uptight. But if we don't have a book as to what you can say and what you can't say, why are you going to penalize a person? There are people in the South that will still say, this guy's gay. Oh my God, they just said a bad word. No one gave them the book to tell them to say, you can't say that. I mean, and the word gay itself is supposed to mean joyous. I remember the comedian Tom Winters, I think his name was, and he was lamenting once, and he said, you know, that used to be a beautiful word, gay. We could say, I'm going to have a gay day. Oh, it's a gay day outside. But now you can't say that, because people will think that you're attacking someone. And who are these people? Hollywood. They're the ones who roll this stuff out there. And then they get tired of it. And then, we're going to have to, this is wrong. Because they're supposed to be the people that, the keeper of the book. As I was started off saying, talking about Dave Chappelle, they want to cancel him. Because one person, or two, or three, and no more, Andrew, he's hurting our feelings. He said this, he did this. Really? I mean, the guy probably doesn't have a hate bone in his body. But he said this, and I'm just devastated by it. I need a safe place. All of these safe places. We're raising generation full of weaklings. People need to wake up and stop being so freaking sensitive.
Yeah, exactly right. And even over the past week, I saw a news headline that says AEW removes fan for bringing horribly offensive sign, which is apparently a new wrestling organization. They have a transgender wrestler named Nyla Rose, and one of the fans at their events brought a sign with an arrow pointing next to them that says, Nyla Rose is this guy's father. Ha ha. But anyways, this made mainstream news that this guy brought this sign that was supposedly anti-trans. How dare he say this about a trans? And really, this should not be a big deal. It's just another example of how everyone overreacts about everything now.
And that's what it is. They all want to make a big deal out of everything. And I mean, you look at wrestling as a whole, and you look at some of the signs that people would make back in the day, and people would laugh at them. But now, fast forward, everyone is sensitive. Oh, it hurt my feelings. Look at LeBron James a month ago, who had a fan ejected from a game because they said something horrible about his son, but yet and still he can go out and make fun of Kyle Rittenhouse. What is happening? Meanwhile, you have China that's abusing human rights and no one is saying anything about it. Just look the other way. You have the left attacking people left and right, chasing them. But no, nothing to see here, but Hollywood and their movies. I think next year they're planning on putting a whole slew of movies out, demonizing the right, bringing up things from the past.
And this is exactly why hardly anyone goes to see movies, and that right. We see TV ratings are in the gutter right now. Right. There's just nothing that captures the imagination of everyone. Everything is so political. You're only trying to play to 50% of the population, it seems like, in the most cases nowadays.
Well, like you started off saying, you know, what was the last movie that I've gone to see? And I told you, I haven't seen any because I don't see anything worth looking at. Everything has a political stance. And as I said, in 2022, get ready. They're going to do a documentary on Emmett Till. Now, I happen to know the Emmett Till story. I think that people should know about it. It's really informative. But the way they're trying to position it is not from a historical viewpoint. It's more so of a blame game to say white people are bad and look at what they did to black people. Okay, now what happens when someone comes around and they do a movie about 2020 and how black people, when they said defund the police, black people just went on a rampage destroying stuff? What happens then? Is that, are we going to say that's racism? Because it's true. That's what's happening. Turn on the TV and the subway in Chicago and our big cities. California, they had a woman the other day going through, I think, a Duane Reade with this huge pickaxe, black woman. What happens when someone decides to make a movie about that? What are we supposed to say? So when they do these things, virtue signaling in China, well, we're going to do this and we're going to put this into context. Are you doing it to show, hey, this is where we were, but we've come a long way? To me, that would be the nature of the documentary on Emmett Till. Not something that's one-sided to say these people are bad. Because when you look around us, all of our families are mixed. We have whites, we have red people, we have Chinese people, we have all people. God forbid, had I said yellow people, someone said that the other day and they freaked out over that. We've got to stop being so sensitive. We've got to pull our country back and we've got to turn our backs on these libertards in Hollywood, because they mean us no good. I'm sure you guys hear the siren in the background. It's probably someone who's broken the law because we've defunded the police. Andrew, we have got to just pull back. I hope the new year is a lot better than this year. It has to be.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It almost has to be. You look at what has went wrong in this country this year. Next year has to be better. But then again, it's another year under Joe Biden. Hopefully next year we at least get some good news towards the end of the year and the Republicans can take back the House and Senate to save this country and take back the White House in 2024. Be sure to tune in later this week. We're going to have some great year in review shows. You guys don't want to miss that. Make sure you tune in to America Out Loud. Thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out and all the other shows over at AmericaOutLoud.com, who celebrated its fifth anniversary this year. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, or Apple Podcasts, or wherever you download your podcast. We'll see you guys next time. Remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.